Welcome to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. To join the conversation, call 508-871-7000. Now, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. If it's the weekend, we must be talking politics. That distinguished man right there, that's Terry Hendricks. Good morning. I'm John Featherston. And don't worry, everybody. Global warming has been taken care of.
Good morning, New England. If it was only that simple. It seemed that there are 195 nations have signed a non-binding agreement to transfer hundreds of billions of dollars from developed countries to undeveloped countries. So, you know, all you despots out there in those undeveloped countries, payday is coming. Have a great day. In reality, we can have a lot of discussion about global warming, but hey, guess what? The Earth has not warmed up 1 degree in the last 18 years, and they say it's settled science, but I don't get it. Because there have been 15 ice ages since the beginning of Earth, and guess what? Those are cycles of getting colder and cycles of getting warmer, and guess what? You know, people say polar bears. You know, those poor creatures are dying, but how come the population doubled in the last 25 years? What's going on?
Don't let the facts get in the way of the truth over there, Terry. Speaking from Washington, President Obama said that climate agreement offers the best chance to save the one planet that we have. I have a couple better ideas. Maybe getting him out of office might be a better way of saving the planet. But, I mean, you nailed it right off the start. I mean, this is a money grab. This is a redistribution of wealth. And, you know... Do I think it's good to be conscious of the environment? Absolutely. I think being aware of the environment, and there are many environmental concerns that I'm concerned about, you know, especially with autism and special needs. But this climate control is it's a money grab. It's a redistribution of wealth.
Yeah, well, it's a power grab, too. It's both. You know, it gives countries the authority to overregulate utilities and all kinds of business and all kinds of things. And so, you know, let's hang on, folks, because the world is getting a little crazier. But if you talk to the average American citizen, global warming or climate change or whatever you want to call it, why did they change it to climate change? Why, you know, global warming? And actually, I remember back in the 70s, we were going to have an ice age. So what happened to that?
And the ozone layer was, going to come crashing down on us. Hey, if you agree or disagree, work the phones, 508-871-7000. That's 508-871-7000. Join the conversation here on All Politics is Local. Let's go over, as I do the air quotes in the air, the highlights of the climate deal reached by the 195 nations. Halting global temperature rise. Okay. Countries agreed to keep the global temperature 2 degrees Celsius or 3.6 degrees Fahrenheit below pre-industrial levels with the promise to pursue efforts to cap the rise to just 1.5 degrees Celsius. So now we're controlling the weather, so that's pretty impressive.
Yeah, good for us. How do we do that?
And then we're going to cut emissions. More than 150 countries have submitted their plans to cut greenhouse gas emissions. We will do regular reviews, which means money. The deal calls for a review of each country's climate targets every 5 years. Here's a fun one. Transparency.
Yeah.
The deal has no built-in penalty for countries that miss their goals, but countries will have an answer for their inability to keep their climate promises because of reporting standards. And then we're going to help the poor countries. The accord says developed countries should pay for poorer countries to reduce emissions and adapt to climate change, but it does not enforce them. And climate losses and damages. The agreement includes a section about the losses and damages that largely island nations will face as a result of climate change, but ruled out holding carbon emitters liable for compensation. So there we go.
Yep. Does this remind you of the Iranian nuclear deal?
Oh, did I see that Iran is still testing missiles that they're not supposed to be testing? The ink's not even dry on this worst deal ever developed in the history of the United States, and they're testing nuclear missiles. And I'll call before you come to see if we're growing uranium.
Yeah,
to,
but don't
to kill
worry.
You with.
You only have to call 24 days in advance.
Unbelievable. Hey, a little special surprise on the phone. We've got our special guest, the bad boy of Boston, already on the phone. Good morning, Joe Ligotti.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for calling in a little early. Hey, the biggest fan of Donald Trump in the world, I think you described yourself as the other day.
Well, I'm a little disappointed with him this morning, but, I definitely think that MSNBC, CNN, all the liberal establishment media is, drumming up these polls with Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio and whatever, I think. But yes, I'm definitely a Trump supporter, yep.
So let's set the table here. If you've been living under a rock the last 15 years and haven't been on YouTube or the internet, we're joined by the guy from Boston.
Am I that old?
Oh, we're not getting any younger, Joe, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, hey.
We're not getting any younger. You see him sometimes on Fox News or Fox Business News. It's Joe Ligotti, like I said, the guy from Boston. So we were talking on the phone the other day. I mean, you did say you were a huge Trump supporter. I mean, what do you like about him?
Well, I actually like that he's actually in my mold, where he's not worried about hurting anyone's feelings. He's more worried about his country and about changing the way we've been for the last 8 years. And, we're sitting in a time at a crossroads where we can either, play nice in the sandbox, or we could kick some ass and make America great again for not only us, but our children. And that's exactly why I like Donald Trump. You know, he's a take-no-prisoners type of guy. He's self-funding his whole campaign, which no one else can say. So that means if somebody comes to him with an idea, he can tell him to go kiss his you-know-what. And I like him for that reason, where he loves his country more than being politically correct.
Well, there you go. You said when you came on this morning, you said you were a little disappointed in him this morning.
Well, I mean, again, I think that the crack in Donald Trump's armor is his arrogance a little bit. And again, and sometimes it's mine also. But, when you're a strong personality person, sometimes people don't understand him saying that, he's far better a judge of character, or his judgment is better than Ted Cruz. Why in the hell would you go after another Republican? I'm a Ronald Reagan, a Republican. I never had a chance to vote for the guy. I was too young. But, the point being is that Ronald Reagan's rule was, we got enough on the Democrats, or we got enough on the current administration. And I think Donald Trump is his best when he's talking down to Obama, when he's talking down about the Congress that has done nothing, including his own party and my party, the Republicans. We've had the control of Washington for a long time now, either one house or the other. And, we had a very weak speaker in John Boehner. We've gotten absolutely nothing through Congress in the last several years. And I find that appalling. So here's my thing, Donald. Just do what Donald does. Tell everybody what you're going to do, how you're going to do it, how you're going to kick some serious butt, how you're going to get things back going again. And that's your best bet, Donald, to be president, not to go after other people, not only in your own party, but, just tell people what you're going to do. And that's been how he's climbed the polls, and not, stop becoming a laughingstock. And that's why I'm a little disappointed. I'm hoping that his arrogance isn't the crack in his armor.
Well, I've been waiting for, the implosion of Trump because of his arrogance, and it's going to be interesting to watch. Joe, we're going to go to a quick break. Everybody out there listening, if you want to talk to the famous Joe Ligotti, give us a call now, 508-871-7000. He's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. We'll do more with the guy from Boston coming up after the break. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN.
The day I was born, the nurses all gathered round, and they gazed in wide wonder at the joy they had found. The head nurse spoke up.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. As you hear, we're not going to take it anymore. The theme song to the Donald Trump event. We're joined on the phone by the guy from Boston, the legend of the internet, Joe Ligotti. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. I appreciate all the accolades, but I just consider myself a concerned citizen.
Well, you know, we appreciate all the awareness that you've brought over the years. We're joined in studio by Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. Give us a call, 508-871-7000.
And good morning. Joe, a lot of people seem to think that Donald Trump is really a plant by the Clintons to provide her basically a better environment to become her next president. In other words, you know, he's not electable, but he would be the nominee. What do you think about that story?
I don't think that Donald Trump is anyone's patsy. He's never been. I truly think that if he was in the beginning, that he's now become uncontrollable by whoever planted him in there. I think it was him personally. But again, I remember a time in 1979 when we were held hostage by and at war with another sect of the Middle East, with Iran. And you had 52 hostages in an embassy, and you had an all-time low of people not wanting to put up American flags, and, you know, our military was not being taken care of, and, you know. And we had a fella who was not as brash as Donald Trump, but then again, it was 30 years ago. No one was as brash as me or him. His name was Ronald Reagan. And, you know, Ronald Reagan was not the greatest president for the economics or for anything else. But one thing that Ronald Reagan did do is he reestablished American pride. He reestablished the military, and he reestablished people not screwing with us. And again, whether or not, you know, I like Donald Trump in the primaries. I like him. You know, he is evolving. And whether or not he, as you say, at the end, he'll be the one that goes up against Hillary Clinton. I don't know. But as of right now, as we're talking to you here on your radio show, yeah, I like him. And I'm working with his campaign. He's having a huge event in Manchester, New Hampshire next month, and they're trying to work that the both of us meet for a few minutes, and that would be an honor for me. And well, kind of fun.
That'd be epic, yeah.
Yeah, and again, I just think that what we need is maybe not somebody who's very presidential, but we need somebody who's more brash and is going to pound the chest and wear an American flag T-shirt and, you know, get kids playing with G.I. Joes again and get the pride back in America. You know, I don't think the economy is really fixable, but I definitely think our pride is. And, you know, if we step on all these little cockroach maggots that are spitting in our face right now, I mean, you know, what we need is a guy with pointy toe shoes to get in the corner and get all of them.
Now, who do you think would make a good running mate for Donald? And, in other words, who do you think would make a great president, a great vice president to
Right, because, he's definitely going to be overpowering. What the ideal for me would be Trump Cruz. But I think Ted Cruz is too strong of a constitutionalist to, you know, run with a Donald Trump, because I think Trump is a little Obama-ish on the way he would probably use his executive power. He's, like you said, a very arrogant guy. And somebody like a Christie, you know, two East Coast guys going down to Washington to kick ass. I mean, that would be epic.
Well, that's a quick train ride.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if I would rather ride in Christie's car, because, you know, the food would be better. Being a calorically challenged man myself, you know.
Donuts everywhere, yeah.
Well, John and I were at the DCU here about a month ago when Trump was there, and literally, you know, standing room only, full house, basically turning people away. The demand, we interviewed a couple of college kids that had driven 4 hours from Vermont to get there. And and one of the number of things we noticed there, one, there were a lot of younger people there, and I'm talking about college-level kids, you know, 18, 19, 20, a lot of people there. We interviewed one woman who I'd say she was probably mid to late 60s, very, very outspoken. She says, I'm a Democrat, I'm a union member, and I love Donald Trump. So, you know, and the energy in the room, well, the room was, of course, full of, I don't know, 13,000 or whatever people. But the energy there was just phenomenal. It was like you were there at the biggest rock concert in town.
Well, he's a TV star. I mean, there's no question. You know, and I mean, again, I've had the honor of being, you know, with Mr. Neil Cavuto for many years and Fox and Friends and, you know, now with Mornings with Maria. And you know, don't get me wrong, TV's a great, great medium. And I've done a lot of radio in this market, as you know. But you got to remember, Donald Trump first is a TV star. And he's a politician kind of second or third. I totally agree. I was trying to make it out to that event, but I couldn't. And there's no question. You like, I'm watching different things on the news this morning and all the news shows. Ted Cruz catapults, you know, 10 points over Donald Trump in Iowa. You know, I just think that the media establishment is so scared of someone that they cannot control or someone that just doesn't care and is a soundbite president that, you know, they're making these things up, because when Donald Trump shows up somewhere, there are thousands and tens of thousands. They need stadiums to put these people in. Same thing they did when he went down to Alabama, when he went to Jacksonville, Florida, when he went to Texas. He needed Cubans, you know, Mark Cuban's arena where the Dallas Mavericks play. That's what's going to be the real pull. You know, right? I don't believe anybody cares, to be honest with you, on December 13th, what the hell's happening in Iowa. Everybody's ready for Christmas shopping. Everybody's, you know, nervous about terrorists hitting them if they're at a shopping mall. So I think this is definitely media stuff, and we're going to find out the real poll in about 90 days.
Well, you know, it's interesting. The media obviously doesn't like Donald Trump, but they're addicted to him. You know, if Rick Santorum called up 10 journalists, he might get one to call him back. Donald Trump doesn't call him. They're always calling him. They're always looking for what he's going to say next, what he's going to do next, and they're just addicted to him because ratings.
Look at what we're doing right now.
Look at what we're doing this morning.
Yeah, we're
I mean, when you think about it, and look at all the morning shows, Meet the Press, Face the Nation, they're talking about three things this morning, okay? And they have been for the past month. Obama and the stupid climate change, okay? I mean, it's 51 degrees in Boston. I love it. I hope it keeps changing, to be honest with you. I had my moonroof open in the caddy yesterday. Second, Donald Trump. And third is terrorism.
Right.
And this Islamic war that is here on Main Street, Elm Street, in Massachusetts, in Worcester, in you know, upper state New York. It's everywhere. And that's what, you know, when you think about it, those are the three largest things. And Donald Trump actually helps you guys, because I did radio for a lot of years. You're looking for things to talk about. He's a media person's dream.
Well, he's a lot more interesting than, you know, the bottom dozen of the Republican candidates. He's more interesting than Bernie Sanders.
Oh, God.
And he's a lot more interesting than Hillary Clinton, who basically same old crap, and whatever she's saying is the result of the latest poll.
Wouldn't you want to see? Done. Think about this. This would be larger than the last fall, whatever you call those things, finales of any of your big shows. Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton. You know what?
Super Bowl
I don't
numbers.
Think he would attack. I mean, he would attack her. I still think he's a gentleman. I mean, wouldn't you just the knowing that he might say, "Hey, you dirty SOB. Why did you do this, that, and the other thing? And yet, what is it like to be married to a, you know, a presidential, you know what?" You know, I mean, that would be so fun That's why I kind of like him. But at the same time, you know, when he does things like he's doing now, he, like you say, it's a rookie mistake. A politician really wouldn't do what he's doing. But again, I love him, but I definitely think that, so let's forget about Trump for a while. Let's just pound the hell out of Obama, because, you know, three of the 14 victims of San Bernardino, which is the worst terrorist attack, and I'm sorry, it was an Islamic extremist terrorist that took out 14 of his co-workers and his wife, were laid to rest yesterday. And I don't see the president in San Bernardino down there with a choir talking like Martin Luther King, like he did for some of the people that were shot in a church, a Baptist church a couple of years back, okay? I don't see him sending anybody down there with Joe Biden in one of the worst terrorist attacks that there's been. All right, this SOB is over you-know-where, and he's talking about 3 degrees here or there.
No, you're absolutely right, Joe. I think you bring up a great point. The president should have been there yesterday. Absolutely should have been there. We're going to take a quick break. Join CBS News at the bottom of the hour. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN. We're on the phone with Joe Ligotti. Join us at 508-871-7000. We'll be back. You're tuned to All Politics is Local.
Say you don't know me. I'll recognize my face. Say you don't care who goes to that kind of place.
Let's return to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished man right there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston. And we're joined on the phone by the bad boy of Boston, Joe Ligotti. Thanks, Joe, for sticking with us.
Oh, I'm having a blast.
Well, thanks for having your Sunday morning with us. Hey, the presidential debate, Republican presidential debate's coming up this Tuesday on, I believe it's Fox Business again?
CNN.
CNN, oh, you're
CNN
right.
This time.
Absolutely. CNN.
Vegas.
The Communist News Network.
Or the Clinton News Network, as some people have referred to it in the past. Out in Vegas, baby. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Joe, I mean, you know, we were talking before the break about how Trump kind of did break the Reagan rule and does sometimes talk bad about fellow Republicans. Cruz is surging in the polls in Iowa. It's going to be interesting to see how Trump handles himself at the debate on Tuesday night. What are your thoughts?
My thoughts are Donald Trump is Donald Trump. And if Donald Trump didn't show up like he threatened to do, there would have been no debate. I mean, you would have had to rely on, what's his name there, Kadetish, the governor of Ohio.
Kasich.
And what is his name?
Kasich.
Yeah, whatever the hell, how you say it. And, you know, everybody, he wants to help everybody. Why doesn't he just wear a tie-dye shirt and smoke dope on stage? I mean, my father was a mailman. Okay. What does that make you qualify to be president? Second, Rand Paul ranting and raving about all the statistics that he's a very smart man, but in order to win an office, it's a popularity contest. And Donald Trump is playing reality TV 101. He's the reason why all these debates have been successful. And I just feel that it was kind of ho-hum when you think about it. And 2 days later, they start this BS about Ted Cruz. Again, I'm only going by what my eyes see and my ears hear. And every time Donald Trump goes anywhere, he's got tens of thousands of people listening to him. I don't see Ted Cruz. They're not showing pictures on CNN, Ted Cruz coming out to full stadiums. Or anyone on the Republican side.
No,
only
absolutely.
One I've ever seen really is Hillary Clinton, Trump, and Sanders.
Well, you know, Clinton was in Boston. I guess it was 2 weeks ago today.
That's correct.
Had a rally down at Faneuil Hall.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of people were there because Marty Walsh asked them to be there, and they were all union employees.
That's negative. That's because union employees like myself
right.
enjoy free donuts. I mean, again, and if we didn't go to the Hillary Clinton thing, our wives and our mothers would force us to go to church. And, you know, I in all seriousness, unions, historically, you know who votes.
Absolutely.
You know, government workers, old people, and union workers. I mean, you could, on any election day, you go to any state agency or city agency or, you know, whatever, and who's driving the voting get-out-the-vote vans? It's people like me, not like me, but in my union, the Teamsters Union, the Electricals Union, the Carpenters Union, it's to get-out-the-vote. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, because most of the time they're for a Democratic candidate. But I'd be very surprised this time. I really think that at dinner tables and at lunch tables and work, even mine, the talk has gone from, you know, this candidate is going to give us something, but people are really afraid. They're afraid to go to the malls. They're not saying that on CNN and MSNBC. They're afraid to go to ball games. They're afraid for their children to go to school. I pray every night that the next day that God watches over my daughter who's in high school, because you never know anymore. That used to be one of the safest places to send your kid to school, and not anymore. That's what I think the popularity and the reason why Donald Trump is where he is, because Donald Trump is hitting the hot buttons.
Well, you know, Joe, I appreciate you saying that, because, I mean, a lot of people feel it, and it's one of those things that, you know, we need somebody like you. A lot of people won't speak what they're feeling, but, you know, I'm the same way. You know, I've got two high school boys, and I worry every day about going to school. Former selectman, have been to many MEMA and FEMA meetings over the years, and
right.
I know things that I wish I didn't know about what terrorist attacks are.
Right.
And, you know, I'm concerned about it. So, you know, I appreciate you bringing it up. That is the new hot button. It is the fear. It is the fear.
Ban the Muslims. I'm sorry.
Yep.
I'm a freedom of speech guy. I'm a freedom of a religion guy. I'm a core principle constitutionalist. But I'm going to tell you something. Donald Trump's not the first one to propose this. He's taking Politics 101 out of Jimmy Carter's playbook. Jimmy Carter did this in 79 and 80. He banned all Iranian immigrants into this country, except for medical reasons, where they could watch them very closely. And so I think there's no question that Islamist extremists are all Muslims. There's no, while some of them are Catholic and they're just shooting people because they don't like other, they're all Muslims. So until we could get a handle on what the hell we have here now, you got to stop everything. And I don't know why, if anybody loves their children or their wives or whatever, would think that that's wrong. Do you think it's wrong?
You got to put you know, safety in. You know, we have to ensure the safety of the people of the United States. That is first and foremost of any president. That is his number one concern. And
except this one.
Yeah, he certainly doesn't. We can talk a little bit about his speech, if you want to call it that. But hey, I want to go to the phone real quick. You've got a supporter out there by the name of Ben. Good morning, Ben.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for joining All Politics is Local.
Hey, no problem.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, it's a great show, guys. I'm loving the new time.
All right, thanks. Hey, we got Joe Ligotti, the guy from Boston. Say good morning to Joe.
Hey, Joe, how you doing?
How are you, Ben?
I'm doing great.
Merry Christmas, by the way.
Oh, Merry Christmas to you, too.
There you go. Don't be afraid to say it. We say Merry Christmas here on All Politics is Local on WCRN. Absolutely. So, Ben, I mean, what are your thoughts, this Sunday morning?
So my big concern about the ban on Muslims is not that it's a ban on Muslims per se, but that why not just put a ban on all immigration moving forward for maybe the next 5 years? That way, A, I mean, you stop Muslims as well as other people coming in, and B, you don't get any of the political BS backlash that you normally would if you just ban Muslims.
Well, I don't know if you want me to answer.
Yeah, please go ahead, Joe.
No, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Here's what I say: the immediate threat, the most extreme threat we have now, is we don't have Lithuanian people or Italians or Japanese, okay, opening fire and putting pipe bombs, you know, after they shoot people so that first responders get hurt when we're trying to help the victims. Here's the problem: these people are at definite war with us. Okay, Islam is definitely not a religion. It is a political organization that is meant in their own teachings to maim and hurt people that disagree with them. So until we can get a handle on that, I mean, you got 9/11, you got San Bernardino, you got Mount Hood, Fort Hood, you got all this stuff. How many times is somebody going to spit in your face before you punch them in the teeth?
No, exactly, but I think that you can ban Muslims by banning all immigration and then also not get the backlash, so you get both things.
Well, Ben, it's kind of one of those things where you got to lose 100 pounds, right? And and here's the deal. You got to cut out bread and potatoes first, right, before you start worrying about how many salads you're going to eat, because I'll be honest with you, you got to go after your biggest problem first. You know, you can't fix indigestion, you know, with Pepto-Bismol. You just got to cut it out. You got to stop what's bothering you.
So you're saying baby steps?
But, well, you have to take one step first. And then once you ban the Muslims and we take care of the jihadists, what we got in here. Now, you can reevaluate this every 6 months. But right now, the direct threat against you, your children, you going down to the local mall or you going to watch the Patriots play at Gillette is Islamic Muslim radicals.
You know, we're digging in the bottom of a pond out in California looking for a hard drive on a computer for something originally that was supposed to be a workplace domestic violence thing. I mean, there's more to that story, Joe. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts on that, we're still looking for the third man in the grassy knoll at Dealey Plaza, too. We know what the hell's going on. And the whole point is that I agree with Ben. I'd like to stop all illegal immigration and open up Ellis Island again so that we're firing people one by one back and forth, because that was the best time we had for immigration when my family came over, yours and everybody else's probably. But the point being is, we have a direct threat. If you have one schoolyard bully, you're going to fight the whole recess? No, you're going to have to go after the one bully, stand up to them, and that's the Islamic jihadist. And again, I have Muslim friends. I do at work. I've tried to learn from them because I didn't know what the... And a lot of them seem, in my line of work, to be peaceful folks, but like anything else, you know, Robert De Niro, Joe Pesci, a lot of Italian people, myself, whenever you see an Italian guy, right, in a movie for the last 50 years, they've been what? Mafia guys, right?
Right.
So it's the same thing. Unfortunately, you know, you have to, you know, until you have some good people in the Islamic faith come forward and denounce them. Have you seen the Islamic people in America protesting San Bernardino and saying they're sorry? No. So until then, I say we have one immediate problem, is to secure our borders, period. But get rid of the people that are a direct threat. How many Czechoslovakians do you think are a threat to come in here and croak people with some Hungarian goulash? It's not happening. It's Islamic people, and unfortunately, under this president, we've had entire cities being taken over by the Muslim faith, and the Sharia law stuff. Get rid of it. It's a cancer. Cut it out.
Well, you know, I would like to hear both Ben and Joe Ligotti's take on it. We have to stop it. We've been doing bombings. You know, that's not working. That's a conversation that I would like to pick up after the break. Can we hold you over after the break, Joe?
I'm here.
All right. Hey, great. Terry Hendricks, got Ben on the phone, Joe Ligotti, the guy from Boston on the phone. I'm John Featherston. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN. Join the conversation, 508-871-7000. We'll be back. You're tuned to WCRN.
You're listening to All Politics is Local in Massachusetts on New England's News and Talk Radio, 830 WCRN. Once again, here's your hosts, John Featherston and Terry Hendricks.
Good Sunday morning. If it's the weekend, we must be talking politics on All Politics is Local on WCRN 830. That distinguished man right there, that's Terry Hendricks. I'm John Featherston, and we're joined on the phone by the bad boy of Boston, the guy from Boston, Joe Ligotti. Thanks for joining us, Joe.
Hey, thanks for having me.
And Ben.
And we still got Ben in Boston. How you doing, Ben?
Good. How you guys doing?
Guys, great, thanks. Let's pick back up on the conversation. You hear all the politicians say, we have to stop terrorism. It's campaign words, it's air quotes in the air. Joe Ligotti, how do we stop the terrorist threats?
We impeach the current president.
I like it.
And the Secretary of State, who's gone on all the news shows this morning as I'm listening on break from the show here. He's calling Donald Trump's ban on Muslims exploitable, an invitation for jihadist recruitment. I mean, are you kidding me? You have a Secretary of State who's supposed to be making deals and representing you and I in front of foreign leaders. And, these people, I don't understand why they hate their country. It just seems like they hate their country. And that's what you have to do first. You have to have Congress that has a set of balls, all right, that files impeachment proceedings, because this is no longer just a political issue where I hate Obama and his policies. You've got innocent Americans being shot, killed. Every day there's Islamic jihadists here and people that want to hurt us. They get more and more embedded. If you knew you had a brain tumor, do you wait 3 months to go to Disney World first, or do you go to Mass General and get a CAT scan?
Absolutely.
That's how you get rid of them.
Is Paul Ryan going to have the political courage to start?
No.
Okay.
No. Another ballless bookworm. Right? I'm sorry. There's just, he's not a Terry Gowdy. He's not a Ted Cruz. He's not a guy that's just, and it has nothing to do with politics. It has to do with constitutional law and parliamentary procedure. The president cannot do, and John Kerry cannot do what they're doing right now and allowing innocent Americans to be unprotected.
It's interesting that there's been some debate over Donald Trump's statement of shut Muslims out. Some people, of course, that are against it say that it's unconstitutional, and kind of on the surface your first blush is, yeah, it's unconstitutional. But there was an act passed in 1952 that gave the president authority. And by the way, that law was passed by Democrats, signed by a Democratic president, that basically gave the president the power to say, this group of people can't come to this country. And it doesn't say it's a six-month hold or a three-day hold. It's an indefinite period that the president can say.
I have to correct you in a little bit.
Okay.
Am I speaking with?
Terry Hendricks.
Terry. It was passed by a Democratic Congress, signed by a Republican president, which proves that we could both work together. Okay, it was signed by Eisenhower. proves that both sides, and this is what pisses me off beyond belief, and I've said it on national TV, and I've said it to Neil Cavuto directly at dinner. It just makes my blood boil. Okay, it's fun to put an R and a D next to your name and debate and all this BS, but this is an A issue. Everybody should have an A next to their name, which means American. And this is not a Republican or a Democrat problem. And that's the problem we have in Washington now, that if somebody proposes something, the Republicans shoot it down with gun control. Republicans won't talk. Allow the Democrats to bring things to the floor. And Democrats and Nancy Pelosi, Harry Reid, will not allow Republicans to. And that's the problem. Meanwhile, we're sitting here in Worcester, Massachusetts, in Boston, or whatever, and we're suffering because we've elected these idiots and we're paying them, and we're paying for their travel to go down there and do absolutely nothing. And this is, you know, and our children deserve better. I'm 50 years old. All right, I shouldn't even be breathing with half the stuff that I ingested in the 80s and, you know, the dope I smoked as a Republican in the 80s because I inhaled. And I'm just saying, I shouldn't even be living, but I am. And now I look to my children and I say, geez, at least when I inherited my job in the mid-80s, you had a shot. Nowadays, I don't know what my Francesca, my Anthony are going to do. And that's who we owe this to. So we have to get off. We have to erase that gray line, a black line. And we got to sit together. And we got to just do better for our children. And this is what's getting me so mad.
So how do we get people with political courage elected to office? Because, it, you know, the general public is very disinterested. They don't seem concerned. And then they don't vote. They get apathetic. The government likes it because they're, you know, they're going to get reelected. Oh, he seems like a good guy. But we need people with political courage to be, one, to run for office, two, get supported, and then make change. And how do we get people involved in politics?
Well, I think it's already happening. I think that what we need to do is we need to start, like, back in the 60s and the 50s, there were political groups. Talk about politics with your friends. Get out and vote. You got an apathy, as you said, out there. I'm over here struggling every week, paycheck to paycheck, and my wife, and we're all doing this. And in the meantime, we're sitting on our asses, and there's 18% of the vote for that, you know, goes out for a presidential run. But the good part of this thing is, as you're seeing, and again, if there's any good part of a Bernie Sanders campaign, I don't know if there is, but there are young people out there. Obama got young people out there advocating. And Donald Trump, he's, like you said in Worcester, you saw young people. We need, the young people are always going to want to fight. It's the middle-aged guys that are actually, you know, footing the bill for the big nut. We have to make that hour to get out there and pull the lever and vote our conscience.
Hey, Ben in Boston, you seem like a younger guy. I mean, what do your friends all think about politics and about, you know, political courage?
A lot of my friends are disinterested, and it's because, you know, they're just starting their careers and this and that, and I say, oh, we don't have time for this, no, don't have time for that. But, you know, I think that the bottom line of getting people out to vote is that, love them or hate them, Donald Trump, Bernie Sanders, people like that who get people riled up and get people, if you're loving them or hating them, they get people interested. And I think that's the big point. You need people interested. You need people understanding that what they vote for really does affect the way they live and the way, you know, different people are going to be living on a day-to-day basis. So they need to see change, and we need people to get out and vote, honestly.
Ben, how old are you?
I'm 25.
All right. God love you. What do you do for work, Ben?
I work in radio.
You do?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Well, I'll apologize for you because I worked in radio. A lot of the people suck. But anyway.
Got a couple guys like that just in the studio this morning.
No. But, Ben, in all seriousness, all right, we live in the most free society there is. There is absolutely no Marines or Army fellas guarding our polls, although I'll be honest with you, don't be surprised if you see terrorists trying to go after our polling places next, because they hate the democratic process.
That's a scary thought.
We got to exercise our civil responsibility.
There you go. Hey, we've been joined by Joe Ligotti, the guy from Boston on the phone. Joe, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it. I hope I didn't monopolize.
No, you did great. Thank you, Ben in Boston. You're tuned to All Politics is Local on WCRN.